Back with more of Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. The Milwaukee River Basin spans more than 882 square miles. The system starts in Fond du Lac and Sheboygan counties. It finally converges in Milwaukee's harbor on its path to Lake Michigan. A local organization called Milwaukee Riverkeeper keeps close tabs on the basin's water quality, and it recently published its 9th annual report card. WUWM's Susan Benz headed to Ozaukee County to learn what grade the basin got this year.
More than 80 volunteers, equipment in hand, trek to locations throughout the Milwaukee River Basin, spring, summer, and fall, to monitor water quality.
Look at all that ice!
Cheryl Nen, Milwaukee Riverkeeper's riverkeeper, yes, that's her real job title, shows me one spot on a recent bone-chilling morning. This is where Mequon Creek meets Pigeon Creek, northwest of Thiensville.
Pigeon Creek enters the Milwaukee River just downstream of the Thiensville Dam.
Nen describes Pigeon Creek as pretty healthy.
This kind of special thing is a couple years ago, there was a small dam kind of west of downtown Thiensville, and that dam was taken out and has kind of really opened up the creek. And so from where we're standing now, there's probably 300 acres upstream of protected habitat and a lot of spawning wetlands that are available for fish like northern pike and other natives. And we've also started seeing a lot of migrating salmon coming up here in the fall. There was about 8 of them, I think, when I came out here in October. People are really getting excited about seeing how far up they're going here in Pigeon Creek in particular. They're getting further and further upstream every year.
Pigeon Creek is actually a star on Milwaukee River Basin's recently released report card, earning a B-.
We don't tend to have any issues with oxygen and temperature or any of our baseline parameters.
Hold it. What does baseline parameters mean? In order to gauge its water quality, Milwaukee Riverkeeper measures key factors or parameters that influence it. Nunn says that includes temperature.
We have some creeks that are designated cold water creeks, and those creeks are our habitat for trout and other cold water fish species. But most of our creeks are considered warm water sport fishing creeks, and so the temperature is important. If the temperature is too high, then a lot of fish, you know, can't survive, basically. And it also can impact other aquatic life in the stream because temperatures are very much correlated with oxygen levels.
That's another parameter Riverkeeper measures, how much oxygen is dissolved in the stream. Why does that matter? Nunn says, imagine you've opened a can of Coke in your car on a warm summer's day.
When you have the hot Coca-Cola in your car, where it goes flat because all of the oxygen's released, it's kind of similar with the river. So as the river warms, it can hold less oxygen. It goes flat in a way, I guess. But there's less oxygen in the river than for fish and aquatic life and invertebrates that are really the base of the food chain in the river.
As healthy as this stream might be, Pigeon Creek represents a drop in the Milwaukee River Basin bucket. The system is composed of three rivers, the Menominee, Kinnickinnick, and the Milwaukee, each forming its own watershed, each, Nen says, unique.
The Milwaukee in particular is still, you know, pretty natural. It's still around 80% rural, about 20% urban. It's still pretty diverse. And then the Kinnickinnick watershed is 95% urban. So, you know, that's a very challenging watershed for us because everything's paved. So, you know, every time it rains, we get a lot of, you know, runoff that's getting into that river very effectively. And a lot of the rivers themselves were concretized. So
effective meaning too good at
it's too good. It's very good at draining water very quickly to the rivers. And along with that water, a lot of pollution that's kind of in that water as well.
Nunn says about 80% of the Menominee is urban and continues to develop by the minute.
It's very quickly developing in the northern parts of the water. Watershed in areas like Menominee Falls and Brookfield, and if folks are familiar with a lot of those suburbs, still a lot of development, a lot of conversion of ag lands and open spaces into, you know, residential areas and mini malls and commercial sites.
Despite their differences, all three watersheds are burdened with high levels of phosphorus. While it serves as an essential nutrient for plants, animals, and aquatic life, high levels of phosphorus in waterways can throw the ecosystem off balance through toxic algal blooms, oxygen depletion, and fish kills.
Yeah, I think in a nutshell, a lot of those baseline parameters are doing pretty well. Temperature, oxygen, that's great. But we're still really challenged by phosphorus, which is coming from you know, fertilizers, manure.
Nen says high concentrations of bacteria also compromise the basin's health. Think E. coli and fecal coliform, just two forms of bacteria that are bad for both aquatic and human life. Nen says nuisance bacteria finds its way into the system through multiple pathways.
Depending on the creeks that we're monitoring in the area of the watershed, that bacteria could be coming from failing sewer pipes. We've seen in parts of the lower Menominee and the Kinnickinnick, you know, over 50% of some of the stormwater outfalls that we've tested that should just have rain and snow melt, have human sewage indicators and high levels of bacteria coming out of them.
In rural areas, Nen says, bacteria can be traced to failing septic systems.
Often in the northern part of the basin, we're getting a lot of manure spreading. We have a lot of human sludge spreading, which is a byproduct of the wastewater treatment process. A lot of the biosolids are land applied to farms as well.
This time of year, Riverkeeper volunteers transition to winter road salt monitoring. Road salt is essentially chloride. Although it's good at handling icy pavement, the chemical compound is deadly to rivers and streams.
Too much salt can be really toxic for fish and aquatic life. We have quite a few creeks that are at levels where they're almost instantly toxic to fish in the stream.
Nen admits keeping up with threats to the Milwaukee River Basin is daunting. While habitat-rich Pigeon Creek is a star performer, the basin as a whole earned a D for water quality in 2018. Nen calls the grade a disappointing decline from the previous year's C-.
We're still not where we want to be. D is not a grade you want to take home to mom. You know, it's not good, and it's hard to sugarcoat that.
Yet Nen insists there's signs of improvement. Milwaukee Riverkeeper's efforts include driving down the amount of chloride entering the basin.
We're doing a lot of education of private homeowners. We're doing a lot of education and training events with municipalities as well to get them to reduce their salt. And they're incentivized to do that because it can save them a lot of money. You know, some cities pay hundreds of thousands of dollars a year on salt bills.
And Nen says while phosphorus presents an even thornier challenge.
A lot of the phosphorus is coming from farms.
She's referring to phosphorus-laden runoff from agricultural fields making its way into the basin. Yet Nen says farming practices are evolving.
There's a Cedar Creek Farmers Group and there's another farmer collaborative in Ozaukee County that's really working on promoting best management practices and more no-till and agricultural practices that really focus on improving soil health and keeping soil in place. It's important to keep our highly productive soil on the land where the farmers can use it and not getting into the river where it's going to cause problems.
In 2018, the EPA approved pollution reduction plans for all three of the basin's rivers for several sources of contamination. The plans are called TMDLs, or total maximum daily loads. Nen says it amounts to
a pollution diet, but it's essentially a plan to ratchet down sources of phosphorus and also sources of sediment and sources of bacteria.
Nen says now what's required is strong and effective implementation to make the diet stick. As if the basin didn't have enough threats, stormwater is another. Nen says record-breaking precipitation in 2018 contributed to the Milwaukee River Basin's overall water quality decline.
We've been getting these extreme wet weather events more and more frequently, which is all pretty in line with the climate change models. We're seeing 100-year storms, it seems like, every couple years. The rivers are incredibly high going in fall here, and we're starting to see ice already. So we need to start thinking differently about how we're redeveloping our cities and how we're developing in new areas and, you know, really making sure that we're infiltrating as much water on site and not sending it quickly and effectively and efficiently into the river where it can cause flooding issues and water quality issues.
Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewerage District, commonly called MMSD, is attempting to reduce flooding along the most developed of the basin's three watersheds, the Kinnickinnick. In the 1960s, crews straightened and lined the KK with concrete. At the time, channelizing rivers was considered state-of-the-art flood control. Instead, flooding intensified. MMSD is now naturalizing the KK. Riverkeeper Cheryl Nen is thrilled.
I mean, when I moved here 17 years ago, I never thought we'd see that. And we have big plans now to remove concrete, you know, basically from Miller Parkway down on the Kinnickinnick River, providing a reconnection floodplains or, you know, trying to naturalize it as much as we can.
Nen says smaller green infrastructure programs are also making a difference.
Years ago, you couldn't get anyone to put a rain garden in. Now, you know, you go around the city and I can't believe some of the bioswales that are going in the rain gardens. And And people are really pushing more and more of that because I think it basically helps minimize flooding. Those plants often are very beautiful, and they also have a really important water quality function that they can play.
Nunn says Milwaukee Riverkeeper remains focused on its mission to achieve swimmable, fishable, and drinkable rivers and waterways in the basin.
There's a lot of planning that's going on in the watershed to kind of identify what's impairing these creeks. Where is the sediment coming from? Where is the phosphorus coming from? You know, where is the bacteria coming from? Are there bad pipes, bad septic? We have the data now to show us where those hot spots are and to really guide us toward solutions that, you know, ultimately will hopefully result in these grades getting better over time.
In Nunn's opinion, public awareness is getting better and better. That's her greatest source of optimism for a healthy future of the Milwaukee River Basin. For Lake Effect, I'm Susan Bentz.
Susan Bentz is WUWM's environmental reporter. For more on the Milwaukee Riverkeeper's Basin Report, you can visit our website at WUWM.com. For more on Milwaukee Riverkeeper's River Basin Report, you can visit our website, WUWM.com.